Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, so you know what we're rapping about. 23-22, Lions loss. Lots of controversy, lots of conversation. Let's bring in one of the best in the game, friend of the program, Dave Burkett, joining us. Dave, how you doing, bud?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
Another day in paradise. We've kind of done a couple of these shows in the past. Yeah. I guess let's start with this. Where are you at regarding the Lions' play? Settling for 5 field goals, not running the ball, not stopping the run, and juxtaposing it to clearly the NFL officiating's at an all-time low. Where do you fall on this scale of justice between blame?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's what I wrote this morning. And, you know, you can admit both, right? I mean, the officiating was horrible last night. There's no two ways about it. That, you know, the two Trey Flowers penalty unwarranted. I mean, they were wrong. Marvin Jones, there should have been a pass interference penalty on that play. There were a few other plays throughout the night that were questionable, obviously. The week NFL officiating is at an all-time low. Okay, that's one thought. Separate thought, the Lions did this to themselves. I mean, they settled for 5 field goals. You know, you can't kick 5 field goals. We said it during the game as it was unfolding, as the Lions were kicking these field goals. Hey, this is going to come back to haunt them. They need to get in the end zone. When you have 3 turnovers, when you have a 3-0 turnover takeaway advantage, you have to get more than 9 points off those field goals. You know, you have to come up with a defensive stop on 3rd and 6, and you can't allow a 30-yard touchdown pass or whatever it was. So, yeah, I think, you know, you can be angry at the officials, and you have every right to be, but at the end of the day, the Lions, and I think good teams would look this way, they have no one to blame but themselves for what happened.
Dave, with the pass interference call that wasn't called, the ability to challenge it, I know, you know, Al Riveron is running a dishonest deal here where they're not overturning them, but wasn't it worth the challenge there if it's as egregious as people believe it to be? Why did Patricia give an answer why he didn't challenge it there?
You know, I did not go to Patricia's news conference after the game. I went in the locker room to get Trey Flowers and some of the players. Mm-hmm. So I did not ask that directly, or I was not in there to hear if that was asked. But look, you know, I don't fault them for not challenging it, truthfully, Mike.
Because they don't overturn them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a waste of a timeout, truthfully. And look, if that rule was being called as intended, if it was actually being reviewed, then yeah, you throw a challenge flag there. But it's not. And so it doesn't make sense for any coach really, to challenge a penalty. And I think that's, you know, something that the NFL has to get its hands around. You know, that's just not something that can happen. So yeah, to me, I don't fault, the Lions for not challenging that. They're certainly, you know, that stage of the game, 7 minutes left or whatever it was, you know, it's something that should have been called. But yeah, I don't think there's, if I was Patricia, I wouldn't have thrown the challenge flag myself. I don't think it wasn't as egregious as the playoff penalty that brought this rule into effect, and anything short of that is not going to be overturned.
Dave, what about the thought process here? Obviously, I mean, this has happened multiple times to this team. It's clear this team is not one of the chosen teams. Well, when you're terrible for 60 years, that tends to happen. But my question is, why not Matthew Stafford step to the podium and address this head on and go, this is ridiculous, and I've had enough, and I've been here a decade for it, or have Patricia step out of line and do it? Why is this organization so reticent to stand up for itself?
Well, that's a good question, and I wonder what there is to gain by that. I mean, look, I think coaches and players, you know, I think you approach it, like I said, in that, you know what, we made bigger mistakes. There were bigger things that contributed to this loss than the officials. If you consistently whine about it, you know, you end up like Baker Mayfield right now. That all the constant whining that he's been doing the last few weeks, it rubs people the wrong way. It doesn't come off looking right. It may be a one-off. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. And I do think players can, and maybe even coaches, you can vent for 24 hours. It's like a win, right? You have the 24-hour rule. You celebrate for 24 hours, and then you be done with it. So I don't mind when players vent and say, man, that officiating was trash. But I think you also have to acknowledge the fact that, hey, man, there was a lot that we did to contribute to this loss, too.
From a football
perspective. Maybe that comes from an ownership perspective, too, Mike. You're right,
yeah.
Because they never speak out around
no.
here. Maybe that's something they are not directly involved. But if, you know, every third month or, you know, however often this happens, you come out and you say, you know, this is, it feels like, you know, the NFL is out to get us. You take the fine, you take the hit, but sure, at least you're sticking up for your team publicly.
Yeah. And again, we can't quantify what it would amount to. I just know you haven't done it yet and it keeps happening. Football perspective, I just have an issue that this team basically plays the same game every week and it's not good enough. They're not running the ball. They're not stopping the run. Penalties, and they seem overly reliant on the other guy handing them the football. Dave, we're now five games into this deal. Let's call it a third of the way. Where are you at with what this team is?
Well, and that's the most disappointing thing, is that, you know, they've led their all three of these, you know, losses, ties, whatever, all three of their disappointments this year in the fourth quarter, and some of them comfortably so, and to not come away with wins, to not be able to close out these victories. You know, that is the biggest disappointment at this stage of the season. So, look, you know, they have a couple nice wins, 2-2-1. Their goals are still clearly in front of them. I know it's a very tough division. You know, the Chargers have proven to be a bit of a fraud. You know, who knows about the Eagles and some of the deficiencies they had. Still, they've beaten a couple teams that it's nice to get victories over. But when you can't close out a double-digit fourth-quarter lead against the Cardinals and you can't close out a late lead, 2 minutes left or whatever, against the Chiefs, when you have them pinned in a 4th-and-8, and then last night, these are the things that teams kick themselves for at the end of the year. I still think the arrow is pointing in the right direction with this team. I think we've seen some progress. I think we've seen some good things from a game-planning standpoint from the coaching staff. But they need to sustain it too, Mike. Like, you know, the last two games, they've got off to pretty good starts mm-hmm. offensively. And then the offense peters out. They had 111 yards of offense in the final three quarters after 188 or whatever.
Well, and that's my point is I don't know how you plan on winning a football game in 2019 yeah. doing that. And I mean, Dave, take it a step further. What's alarming is how good the script was yeah. off the bye week. You could tell that Bevel had some things planned on the first two drives. But then seemingly once they were out of the script, it was just... I mean, it's bad. Call it what it is. It's 111 yards in three quarters. That's a huge problem.
Yeah, and that's two straight games, too. The Chiefs, if you remember that game, they started off coming out on fire. You know, they hit him with a couple big plays out of there at that trips formation. And, you know, I asked Bevel about it on the conference call after that game and, you know, about the success they had out of that. And he said, oh, it was just something, you know, we saw. We had to take advantage of. They adjust. We move on. Well, You have to counterpunch, right? So I think there's been something missing with that they need to strike back a little bit faster, a little bit more furious. So yes, as good as I think the coaching staff, as good a job as I think they've done at times this year, that would be one of the deficiencies.
Last one for me. I just defensively, I can't let it go because I can't figure it out. Their inability to stop the run, but moreover, they're just kind of keeping it nice and neat up front. We're just going to stay in our lane and kind of push the pocket a little, but no pressure, nobody cutting it loose. They've helped me understand when every game I'm watching the opponent put up 420, 440, 460. Dave, what are we doing here defensively? Specifically, how is this D line not more impactful?
The yards, it's been tough to watch. The bend but don't break, and you know what, we saw some of that when Patricia was the Patriots defensive coordinator, so it shouldn't come as a total surprise. And look, I think there is a method to the madness, I guess, right? They think that eventually you'll get enough pressure with that three or four man rush, and you know, you got enough people in that back end that you should be able to cover, and they've done a sound enough job of that at times. But yeah, you know, yesterday there were two, I don't know if it was back-to-back plays, but a couple right in pretty close succession where they got some pressure with those linebacker blitzes. And when you're not getting it with your front four, and they're not because they don't have a great pass rusher in that group, you know, maybe you do need to change things up a little bit and bring a little more heat.
I'm really surprised they're not moving Trey around like the Patriots did, and Flowers was a really nice interior rusher at times.
He was. Yeah, in those you know, nickel-dime situations yep. where you can really plug him inside. And look, I think, you know, Flowers has gotten he doesn't have the stats, and he's gotten a bad rep so far, you know, because he hasn't lived up to the money, completely understandable, but he does some nice things too. He gets some pressure, but they just need a little more help up front, or they need to get to the quarterback a little bit more, because yeah. that's something that when you give good quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, these guys time, over four quarters, they're gonna eventually win that battle.
Dave, I really appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Mike.
All right, Dave Burkett, best in the game right there. You got thoughts on what Dave had to say? Go for it. I guess Dave's the devil like I am because he ain't pinning it all on the refs either. But which side is right? I don't know. We're all screwed, aren't we? Isn't that really how it works? 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.